quite something. But like I said earlier to some of the others, what kept me going is it's just great to come together as one. Because when there's a unity there, there's great power. And we've been told to read the Acts of the Apostles. And the thing that stood out to me, one of the things, was the fact that when Jesus was ascended into heaven, for many days the disciples and just got together and their families, and they were just together in one place, fellowshipping and having communion and doing prayer. And that's the thing that stands out. If they hadn't done that, I doubt the Holy Spirit would have ever come. That was the thing that released the power. That was the thing, they just got together. And I just have this burden in my heart that that's what we need to do more as a fellowship, that have this time of unity together. To get to know that the power that there is, I just think that there's an onslaught here to try and break up that unity. Because if the church can just become very isolated within itself, that's when the breakdowns come, not the breakthroughs. And so there's been lots of things going over in my mind, but as we came tonight, and there's all this rain pouring down, you know, I thought, there's some of me, I don't know whether some of you felt, oh, I'd have been better off staying at home tonight. Why go out? You know, it's awful weather. Why, I can't be bothered, or I'd be better off staying at home. But then there's the other half that says, I need to get out there. I want to get out there. I want to meet. And I just, as we're in the car, I was reminded of when I was a little kid. And I mean, most girls my age like to be princesses. I bet you're Kiana, you know, they like to be princesses or queens or something like that. Not me, Leon. I like Pirates of the Caribbean. I wanted to be a pirate. I don't know why. Now, as I've got older, listen, I can't stand water. I'm frightened of water. And I don't like boats. So actually, this idea of being a pirate, I just have no idea. I don't know whether the swashbuckling, you know, jumping on and all this with the sword. I always wanted to learn how to fight with the sword. You know, you see in the Olympics. I think it was something to do with adventure. I don't know. But I was in the car and I just felt, you know, when you saw the ships that they went on with the sails, but at the front there was always a figurehead. And I felt that we're a figurehead at the front, those of us that are here together. And we make, the thing is, that bow of the ship goes, cuts through the water, doesn't it? And then the rest of it. And I just thought, we're cutting through something here. We're leading. We're leading through, we're cutting through. And I was quite taken aback by that, because I've not even been thinking of all sorts, you know, that type of thing. But that was just what came to mind today. And it's this focus that we've been talking about. And on Wednesday, Andrew's been sharing about putting Jesus in his rightful place. It's a call to ourselves to place Jesus back in the focal point of being at the centre of our lives daily. And as I said earlier, there has been a scripture that's been going over and over in the spirit for some weeks now. And on Sunday, I heard a part of Brian's message, and I think that sort of stirred something up. And I went home after tea, and I sat down, and I knew what I was doing. I said to Grace, I'll lead Wednesday evening for you. And it's all come out again. And so I'm going to share with you some thoughts I've had about this particular scripture. You see, a fellowship as a whole, we're having trials and we've got tribulations. But this isn't the time to give up. And like tonight, it could have been so easy to give up. Oh, the weather's bad. Oh, our Daniel walked in and said, oh, it's flooding in Sheffield. Well, you're not going tonight, are you? You know. And I said to him, thank you for being very positive, son. You know, and he said, I'm just being realistic. Well, thank you, but sometimes the realism, you know, is if you shut it, because it's unbelief at times. And It's just, I mean, I love him to bits, but I'm praying for him because at times he's in a department that deals with liquidation, and he's having to deal with people and spirits that are behind it, the greed and the avarice and the, it's all, and it's, you can tell at times he's been affected by it. Now, he doesn't realise this, but at times some of the statements he comes out with, and I think, Daniel, God open his eyes, please. So it's on occasions like this, when we're going through trials and tribulations, that we need to pull on the armour, pray all the time, on all occasions, and tighten our belts, everybody. And Sunday, there was a real breakthrough. Now, it was a prayer of petition, I would say, that we did a lot of petitioning on Sunday. I was aware of that, because we were asking God a lot of things, asking him to open doors to do this, that and the other. And there was, you can have the prayer of dedication and worship, and there's the prayer of thanksgiving, there's the prayer of agreement, that it's the prayer that changes things and not God. Let's get that straight. It's changing things, it's changing situations, but it's not changing God's mind. And Sunday we petition God with many requests, but I'm hoping tonight that when we focus on prayer, we're going to thank him for what he's done and what he continues to do. I really think there needs to be a thanksgiving focus tonight, as well as also still petitioning, like I said, for Andrew, and that divine favour steps in here and opens doors. But all prayer involves fellowship of some kind. Fellowship with whom? Yeah, with the Father, with God, right. And over the past few months, the scripture that has been coming over has been one that Helen spoke about many years ago. In fact, some of you weren't here when she spoke about it. And it's just come back to remember. She spoke about it. She didn't speak long about it, but it just really struck something, a chord in my spirit. And it's Philippians 3 verse 10. So if you'd like to find that in your Bibles, Philippians 3 verse 10. It's not the full part of the verse. It's like the beginning part of it. But when Helen spoke on it that time, it just really made an impression on my spirit. And I can't understand why it's come back to remembrance. It's just all the thing I kept getting was just the first part of Philippians 3 verse 10. You all got it. Yeah. Oh, hang on. I'll do my usual thing. We'll have a few different translations. Right. Mine is the NIV. Okay. And it goes, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And it's this, I want to know Christ. Now, what version have you got, Bill?
Go on, read it out.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death.
Brilliant. That I may know him. Wow. What have you got? Right. Give us, what have you got? You've got authorised. You do the authorised.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, we may come all of them into his death.
Go on then, you do. Yeah.
as a result I can really know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead, and I can learn what it means to suffer with him, sharing his death, so that somehow I can experience the resurrection from the dead.
Yours, Ken, what's yours? Bill's. Anybody else got a different version they'd like to share? NIV, Silver's name? No? Nobody else? Go on then.
For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively come more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognising and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may share his sufferings as to the continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, into the hope.
It is, yeah, it is that one, isn't it? Griff, what have you got? Which translation have you got? Right, good. But it's that I want to know him. Yeah, I did. As a result, I can really know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. So, which verse are we going from? Which verse? Right, now you listen, great to hear this, the New Living, this is good. I once thought all these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own goodness or my ability to obey God's law, but I trust Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. As a result, I can really know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I can learn what it means to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that somehow I can experience the resurrection from the dead. Yeah, wow. It's that word, know. You see, when you look in the Hebrew Greek study Bible that Ken and Jones got, knowing the Greek word in this instant is this word, giganasko, and it means to know experientially. Right. Now, the English word know can have a number of meanings. I can know Lynn's mobile number. I know that after the summer comes autumn, and I know my husband. But each has a different meaning. Right? In the first sentence, know refers to having something in one's memory. The second is a certainty that something is going to happen. And the third instance is having a very personal relationship with a person. And in the scripture, I want to know Christ. It's referring to being intimately acquainted with Christ. Now that is deep.
And Andromach says this is the same word that's used with Adam and Eve when Adam knew Eve.
Right. So there's quite a few where they talk about. I'm trying to think of Adam and Eve, Abraham and Sarah. That it comes up there. Yeah. So the question I'm going to ask each, all of us, myself included tonight, is: are we intimately acquainted with Christ? Do we want a closer walk with God? And if so, are we then willing to give Jesus more of our attention? And if we are, what are we prepared to give up to pursue this? On Sunday, with the children, we talked about the requirements, didn't we, Lynn, of what was needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we said to them, an example is a person who is very, very thirsty has only one thing on their agenda, and that is to get a drink. Are we so thirsty for Jesus that we pursue him like nothing else matters? Are we so thirsty that we pursue Jesus like nothing else matters? I want to know Christ. Now, what I've found is that part of the way that I'm trying to further my relationship with God is I've decided this month I'm going through Matthew, Mark, Luke and John three times. I've made out how many chapters I need to read a day, and that's what I'm doing. But it's not just to read. I'm saying to the Holy Spirit, talk to me, speak to me whilst I'm reading this. Because the thing is, when you read, it's good anyway. Like he shared on Sunday, the one who was in prison and he'd read a page and make himself a fag. But at least he read it. He got it in him, you know. And that's what happens. No matter what, when you read the word, it affects you. And so I think that's basically one of the things that I decided. I was going to read about Jesus. That was the other thing. Thinking about what Andrew said about focusing on Jesus, that's why I'm just staying on to the four Gospels. Every time it gets to the red bit, read, taking note of what Jesus is saying. Because I want to be intimately acquainted with Jesus. Because once we start doing that, the miracles, the signs, and the wonders start following. Because the unbelief in your life, and we've all got unbelief, because reason is a thing that we develop in our lives. It's something that you develop in this life that we're living day by day. Suddenly it doesn't take control of the situation. When you're reading the word like that, you suddenly start to see it as God sees it and not as the world sees it. So that's a personal aim that I've put forward for myself. And it's very interesting because on Monday there was an incident that happened at work. And I did a very unusual thing. I went and sat in the staff room at lunchtime, and I don't normally do that because I like to hide away in my little cupboard and just read my Bible or read a book, something like that, just to recharge the batteries from a very intense morning. But I was sat in the staff room, and then two teachers, it was a conversation that was going through the staff about who won the elections, the recent elections. And they started to talk about the BNP candidate that's won in Netherlands, is it Netherlands? Or Dutch? The Dutch, is it the Dutch? And for some unknown reason, this male teacher decided to say, well, it's only like if you read your Bible that it's like we're just going back to what they did, it's nothing's altered. And I don't know if in European, yeah. It's yeah, right. Mm. Yeah, well, you see, I didn't get too into the politics of things. It was just the sort of the knock-on effect on this conversation that the male teacher said, well, you've only got to look at the Bible and they're no better. It's just a repeat, like the world is just a repeat of what is in there. So I just chirped up and I said, depends which part of the Bible you read. So he just looked at me, and then all of a sudden this female teacher started with, oh well, who bothered with that book? I mean, come on, it was just a few men that got together and decided, oh, we'll have this bit in and we'll not have that bit in. And she started, and I sat there and I just let her go on. And then when she finished, I just turned around and I said, there was no need. Oh, so she got on about something and I just said, don't mock something that others believe in. And she just looked and said, I wouldn't mock. I said, if that wasn't mocking or scoffing, then what is? And I just stood up and walked away. Well, she's not spoken to me since. But I walked out and I walked to my little room and I just went in, and the scripture that came is, pray for those who spitefully misuse you and persecute you. So I did. I just said, Lord, open their eyes. For goodness sake, Lord, just, you know, Damascus Road for both her and Mike, just open their eyes and let them see. Because his onus is, I shan't believe until I see. And I thought, come on, that's just lame, that excuse. And I thought, got to get Jesus, I need more of Jesus. I want more of Jesus. Because I want to walk in that place and people say, there's something different about you. Because that's what wins people over. Not arguing. I wasn't going to go into a big debate. But I would have loved to have said to her, 50, 100 years down the line, you'd have been up for blasphemy for what you said. I mean, they don't do that with the Quran. And these are not Asian teachers, these are white English speaking teachers. But you know, that's the state that we are working, that's the sort of establishment we get. I want to know Christ so that they see. And that if Mike said, I believe when I see, right, let's take him for his word, let Jesus shine out of me, let him see him, and then we'll get him saved, you know. So it was when I'd written this on Sunday, I didn't realise just ironic it would be that on the Monday there'd be a situation there. But as we enter prayer tonight, let's let it be with a heart of thanks for his goodness and a desire to know what his plan and purpose is for our individual lives first. Because Harvest Fields Ministries in Doncaster is only going to affect this place when we ourselves allow Christ to take a deeper place in our lives. And then when we come together, that like the apostles in Acts, it becomes even more powerful. Now tonight I was really the thoughts that were coming to my mind, because there were so many things going off, I thought, Dina, why are you bothering? Why are you bothering? You know, it's just... And I thought, because I know God is in this situation. I know God is alive. I know that He, and it's keeping going. It was knowing, coming together. That's what kept me going tonight, is coming together. Because there's power when we get together. So, that is all I want to share with you. It's just that I want to know Christ. Just like Paul said. Yeah, have that deep acquaintance. And that's my, what I've just thought I'd share with you all here. Open your hearts and go, like the man that wants the water, thirst for the water. Let us be so thirsty for Jesus that we pursue Him like nothing else matters.